Let's read this prayer together. This is Psalm 23, and just as a part of our prayer time, let these words wash over us as well. Let's read this in one voice. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me along paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That's one of my favorite Bible passages ever, one that just tells a story. There's an arc to it. You go through dark places, you come out, and God is taking you to the high table mesas. Just beautiful. So this idea of rest, let me first tell just a couple stories. Just a couple weeks ago, my wife and I were driving our 2006 Honda Odyssey, a beautiful baby blue. I know you guys are very, very jealous of my 2006 minivan. We got this because we knew that child number three was going to be coming. This was at least in the plans, God willing. And so we purchased the minivan. It is our swagger wagon, if you will. And our swagger wagon has this great feature that it has automatic sliding doors. And as they go back, if the kids like have opened up the doors or anything when we're getting ready to leave, like put it in reverse, it'll gently beep at you to tell you that whoa, the doors aren't shut yet. And so it just goes, dee, dee, dee. You know, it does a little soft thing. It's just like, oh, shut your door, Lucy. Come on, we're going. And so we were having some trouble with the car the other week. And all of a sudden, when the doors were shut, my wife and I are about 20 minutes from the house, and the kids are with us. And the doors are shut. We put it in reverse, and it just goes, dee. Yeah, I mean, that was annoying, just me doing that for a moment. And it was like, oh, whoa, I put it back in a park, and both Benny and I get out and try shutting them again. We get in, we put it in reverse, it's dee. And we back out of a parking lot, and we put it in drive, and it's dee. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this. Like, I'm a very audio person. I do music. And I pull it over. We try again. It's not working. And I'm like, well, it's going to be a painful 20 minutes home. And we're driving. And my four-year-old is like, make it stop, Daddy. Make it stop. Because four-year-olds can be little tyrants. We know this. And I was like, I can't, honey. I can't. We were turning up Raffi, which is children's music, which is worse than the noise. And so we're like, trying to drown it out. We're doing all this stuff. And we get home and I get parked and I just mess with the battery. Like I do this is the one move I have as a person messing with cars. The one move I have is unhook the battery, hook it back up. And it worked. I'm a genius. And so it stopped all the noise. Now here's what's interesting. I want to just talk about music and noise. When you take sound and organize it, and there is rhythms, and there is rest, and there's pauses, we call that music. And you can take the noise that was playing in our wonderful Honda Odyssey, and you can put it within dance music, whatever, you know. And as long as there's variation and rhythm and rest, Louis Armstrong used to say that when people would ask him, "How do you solo so well?" And he said, "Man, I just know when not to play. I just play things between the rests." Yeah, I play things between the rests because he knows when to be quiet and then when to come in, when to bring things back. There has to be rhythm, variation. There has to be quiet as well as noise. And when we get into that mode of it's just constant, well, then it's all of a sudden turns from music to it turns to noise. It turns to something that we do not want to hear, be a part of. How many of you remember like CDs skipping or record players skipping? And within 5 seconds, it's like, and you're just like, okay, no, this is not cool dance music. We are turning this off. We're going to figure out. How many of you have ever had a noise in your kitchen, like a refrigerator buzz or something, or been around fluorescent lights? And you can hear it, and it's just, it creeps in all of a sudden. You're like, no, this constant sound, this monotony, all of a sudden creates noise. It makes for noise. Now, something else that I'm going to tie in here in just a moment. I was driving through the McDonald's drive-thru around Thanksgiving time. It was a little bit before Thanksgiving. And I was picking up some wonderful breakfast there, and I saw in the window, don't judge me, I saw in the window their plans for the holidays. And it said, it was their little schedule, it said Thanksgiving open all day. Christmas Eve open all day. Christmas Day open all day. New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, open all day. And I began to feel a very deep sense of sadness. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, for the people who work there. I was like, am I that important that I need them to stay open all day on Christmas? Is the bottom line of making enough money? Because I think McDonald's does okay. You know, I think McDonald's does just fine. Are we in a place where we are not allowing rest for people because of the way that we are driving things forward? How many of you have seen this or seen articles about this over the last 5 years that people aren't taking their vacation days anymore? And this has been like a big thing that like you have to, like, I think there was a commercial done by, I don't know what agency did it, but it was like, take back your vacation days. Do not get into this culture. Do not get into this pattern where you feel like you are not allowed to take a vacation and take a break and stop. What happens if, as a people, like I'd say this is a very genuine thing within the United States. It's because we are coming from a capitalistic society where time is money. And so if you take a break, well, then you cannot do great things for your family. You can't make enough money. You can't keep up with the Joneses. You're not contributing enough to society. If you decide to enter into a pattern of rest, well, that means that you might be being lazy. You might not be being, like, contributing enough to everybody. And so we're going to need you to keep going. We're going to need you to work not 6 days, but we're going to need you to go ahead and work all seven. We're going to need you not to take your vacation days. We're going to need you not to take days off like Christmas Day or whatever. We're going to need you to go ahead and work. And pretty soon, am I preaching? You know what I mean? All of a sudden, if you get into this place where there is no break, where there is no rhythm of rest, it just becomes monotonous noise. And I really do believe that we find ourselves in a society right now and within our cultures that to take a break, to take a Sabbath, to take vacation is actually like seen as a step back from helping, a step back from doing good for your family, for your business. When God rescues the people of Israel out of Egypt, many of you are super familiar with this story. They are slaves in Egypt. They have been working for Pharaoh, and they cry out to God, and he says, I have heard the cry of my people. I'm going to send Moses, Aaron, everybody. We're going to rescue them out of Egypt. We're going to take them out and take them to the promised land. Before they go to the promised land, they need to go into the wilderness. They actually go into the wilderness. And there's this idea that they had to leave some of the things and patterns of Egypt behind while they were in the wilderness. And so God is teaching them brand new things. One of the major things that God does is he gives them the Ten Commandments, right? Like we've all seen the Charlton Heston movie. They have the Ten Commandments, and these are a new pattern of life they're gonna do. And what's really interesting is one of the commandments is Sabbath rest. It goes like this. Let me just read it for us out of Deuteronomy. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days to work each week for ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and your donkeys and other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. He repeats this. They must rest as you do. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. So you were once slaves, but now you are free, and the Lord your God is going to command you to have a day of rest. Now, I think this is kind of counterintuitive. They have just gone from an entire nation structure, and now they're out in the wilderness. Can they afford to take a day of rest out in the wilderness there's a whole nation to build now. There's governments to put in place. There's structures to, there's food to be that needs to get gathered. And all of a sudden, God says, no, you're not going to work seven in and seven out. You're going to have a day of rest. And I think here's the big picture of what God is doing. God is saying, you are not slaves anymore. You're not slaves anymore. The very definition of a slave means you're only worth what you produce. Your worth comes from what you make, produce, contribute. And so, like we're in this world where it's like, no, you can't take time off. You just can't afford to do this. You can't afford, like, what's that speaking deeply into our identity? You're only worth what you produce. You're nothing but a slave. And a lot of us approach the kingdom of God in the same way, I think. A lot of times we approach the kingdom of God and it's, well, how many times did you go to church this year? What's the benchmark? Did you serve in these areas? Did you do this? How was your performance? What did you produce? How did you contribute? And we get into this mindset, same. Well, when it comes to the kingdom of God, I'm a slave. God is calling us out of that, and here's his best tool to build this within us. Take a Sabbath. Make sure that your life is not this monotonous rhythm, the without rhythm of just work, 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 contribution, production. God says, hold on. There are some places in your life where you have to hold with open hands and say, after 6 days, I'm going to let go and know that God is in control. And I'm also going to let go to enjoy life. I'm going to let go to enjoy my family. I'm going to encounter things and just remind myself that God is with me. God cares for me. God loves me. My family. We're going to do wonderful, fun things once a week to make sure that those 6 days of work continue in a place of joy. I love work. I love the kind of things that I get to do during the week. However, if I don't take that step back, then I am getting into this pattern of I'm only what I'm worth. How many of you ever heard like the old saying, like preachers would say, the devil never takes a day off. Have you ever heard that old phrase? Like, well, the devil never takes a day off. Why should I? That feels Southern, so I say it in a Southern voice. Sorry. the devil never takes a day off. Why should I? The devil loses in the end. By the way, like, right? The devil loses in the end. This is no way to live. I often feel within my own life, we talked about this in our storyline group. I said, you know what? I always feel a tad bit restless and guilty over everything. I always feel a little guilty over everything because I feel like I'm not producing enough. I'm not trying hard enough. I'm not contributing enough in our busy, busy life. Is that the sentiment of a child of God, chosen and called into the promised land, or is that the sentiment of a slave? So, there are rhythms And I think a great way to put them is finish lines. There are finish lines that are built in naturally within our lives. And I've actually tried to take on this practice the last few years, and it works wonderfully. I end up having fantastic, great energy for work, and then I am able to play and enjoy rest. When I first tried it, I was really depressed during the days of rest because I wasn't producing anything, and therefore I had no worth. But it took a while. I had to get into, I want to enjoy this. And so there are finish lines that are naturally built in. Your day has a natural finish line. For me and my family, it's actually supper time. Like when we gather around the table, we say this, we're gonna work, we're gonna do different things no matter what the day looks like. If it's a work kind of day, I'll work or my wife goes to work and it's busy and you work the first two thirds of the day hard. And then when we get around the table, it's a finish line. And we get quiet, we rest, we eat our meal together, we enjoy our time together. And then it gets into bath time and bedtime, which is work in and of itself. But each day has a finish line. Your weeks have a natural finish line. I've been talking about this whole time. A Sabbath, you are on, you work, you dig in the dirt with your hands, you think very difficult like things over solving problems, and you do those 6 days in, and then you have this moment when you pull back and you unplug and you just enjoy life, and it's called a Sabbath day. I saw in Relevant magazine, they had this article, and they said this is actually a proven scientific thing that they found is that humans have, they called it a circa septum rhythm. And this did not come from Christian studies or whatever. This just came from doctors like doing these studies that humans, like, they work really hard 6 days and they actually need a break. And they have this day of rest and they're able to recharge and jump back into things. Something that God has put in within our scriptures is something that just naturally has occurred within our biology for thousands of years. That feels like that should get an amen. And then lastly, I really do think that our year has a natural rhythm to it. There is like you're living life where you have this daily rhythm and you have this weekly rhythm. And then once a year, it is very good to get away for a week, to take a break, to have vacation with your family. The moment this service is done, my wife and I are piling into our amazing blue Honda Odyssey that doesn't beep at us anymore because of how great I am. And we are heading to Kansas. We're going to go spend time with our families, and it's very restful for us. We're going to go swimming. We're going to have barbecues, and I'm not going to feel guilty about it at all. And so our days, our weeks, our years, that they have these rhythms, and it enriches life. It makes music out of life. It breathes into us a new identity. You're not a slave. You're not only what you produce or what you contribute. You are actually a child of God, a child of the Most High God who loves you, cares for you, longs for the most richest life in full for you. A last ending story here. My wife and I, so we did this Iceland thing for our 10-year. For our 5-year, we tried to do something major during this. There's no reason for 5, 10, whatever. But we tried to do something major. So for 5-year, we went to Portland. And we took our little 4-month-old, just newborn, along with us. And we went in the fall. It was around September. And when they say keep Portland weird, they mean it. It's an odd place, and Betty and I are artists, and so we're just like, oh, we're home. Even the donuts are weird with voodoo donuts, which now Denver has a voodoo donuts, and now I feel home. So my wife and I are in Portland, and Benny's cousin lived there too and was driving us around, and she was driving by this elementary school and was like, oh, they have this thing here. Do you guys want to stop? And we were like, yes, we've heard about this. Let's stop. It takes us a while to find parking, and once we do, we head to this elementary school, and there are thousands of people around the outside of this elementary school. And it is a huge party. There are kids that have taken cardboard and they're going down the grassy hillsides, like over there, like it's Christmas time. They're like sledding down. There are people who are on date night and there's like these low tables and they have like open bottles of wine. And I guess it's Portland, so keep it weird. They can have that. And they're hanging out. At one point, a wedding party comes out of the school, like full on, like wedding party with a minister. And they come out and everyone keeps looking up at the sky. Here in Portland, or there in Portland, during the fall, there are about 30,000 chimney swifts, these very small birds, and they migrate through. They're going south. They migrate through, and about 30,000 of them have made the boiler room of this school their home. And it's Portland, so they don't like destroy all the birds and redo the boiler room. They're like, we've got to keep this. This is amazing. And so about 3 weeks to 4 weeks every year, these swifts come in and they start using this as their home for the night. And thousands of people come out to watch this. And it was dusk, and you see this cyclone of birds they're coming in from wherever they've been feeding. And they start swirling down and heading down into the chimney. And there's like every once in a while a hawk will come out for supper. And like a hawk will come out and the whole cloud like breaks. And like, you know, people are in the crowd are either cheering for the hawk or for the swifts. And they're like, get your dinner, hawk. And they're like, no, get away. And so it was this beautiful, amazing scene with all of these people taking the break from their day and heading out to just watch this amazing thing of God's world happening right in front of them. And something happened that doesn't happen very often for me. I'll be really, really honest and say that there's almost always a slight bit of restlessness with me or something I'm always thinking ahead. In that moment, that stopped. And it didn't feel like time stopped. It felt like time lifted. Have any of you ever had this happen? And it just felt like you were in that moment. You're in the moment. And I was with my wife, and I was just thinking about how wonderful it's been to be married to her for 5 years and how glorious God's creation is and how good it is to be alive. And how good it was to have the work of my hands, but then also to be able to go on this journey with my wife to Portland. And it just awakened something deeply. It's good to have rhythms within our lives. It's good to take breaks. It is good to take a moment and just recognize that you're alive and to make music out of our day-to-day rhythms. Amen.